Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good.
Trying to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out.
Welcome to another episode of Common Ground on KNTR Talk 106.7, 5, and 3, the voice of the free. Remember, if you're traveling through the tri-state, you can listen in on 106.3 in Golden Valley and Kingman, 106.5 in Laughlin, Bullhead, Mojave Valley, and Needles, and 106.7 right here live in Lake Havasu. We do not have our call line open today, but you can still text us at 928-727-5566. And before I hand it over to you guys, just want to give a quick thank you to our sponsors, Blonzi Steakhouse, Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware, Annie's Thrift Shop, Meat Pool and Supply, Trailside Firearms and Trading Company, Parker's Collision Center, Perfectly Pressed Cleaners, and Bullhead Vape Shop. This show is brought to you by co-creator Red Bull Ronnie, operations manager Paul Lavoie, and of course your co-host Melissa Lucas and Jim Chaney.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Marissa. Hi, Jim.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Good. Survived a busy Father's Day weekend. Had a bunch of grandkids at my house.
We're very good. Very good. I want to say we have a day.
Yes.
Because it's somebody here's birthday.
Well,
yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay, yesterday. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
You're getting really old, huh?
Oh, man. I already heard that from my sister. She called me Unc all day.
Oh, my. You know, and then you're going to be so old, next thing you know, you're going to be a quarter of a century old.
Oh, man.
So, hey, I got a little something, and it's because a young man that I met the other day, and sometimes you meet somebody and you're like, hey, this guy makes me feel good about the area that I live in and the country. And there is hope because of this guy. This guy doesn't know that I do this show here. I never told him. He did me a solid. He's like, I work for Shaquille O'Neal. And O'Neal is making candy.
Yes, the big giant gummies.
The big gummies.
Yeah.
The shackalicious.
Yeah, the peach ones are good. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's going around the country giving stuff away. But he said the nicest things about our area. He said, you know, I went to this Pirate's Cove, and everyone I met there, I've been all over the country, and I was in the Army. I've been around the world. He goes, the people here are so genuine and friendly. And I watch these boats coming in to Pirate's Cove, and just all these kids that have just met out there playing, you know, on the pirate ship. And I'm like, hey, if they would have had that pirate ship when I was there, when I was a kid, I mean, that's like a playground come true. But he gave me these candies. So here, happy birthday.
Why, thank you.
And, you know, I want to say, Shaq, you did a great hire with that young man. He's doing a great job for you. And I've seen on the internet that Shaq has a connection with somebody here in town, I think, or he bought a golf cart here or something.
Really?
I'm not the one to ask.
But so yeah, Shaq, if by chance it gets back to you, great hire.
And the Shackalicious are delicious.
They're good.
Yeah.
And you can take the little basketballs and throw them through the hoops.
I did not know that. This is the updated version.
They fit.
I haven't tried the new version.
You got to be a good shot.
And we have a great guest today, Dr. Paul. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yep.
Where are you at, Dr. Paul?
I'm in Idaho, Twin Falls, Idaho right now.
Twin Falls, Idaho. What's the weather like up there?
you know, it's going to be finally a nice hot day without wind. We struggle with wind a lot here, it seems like. More and more every year, it seems like. But today it's going to be 90, which is the first time that we've heard that particular number this year.
How do you struggle with the wind?
You know, it just seems, Jim, like I end up changing my routine. I love outdoor sports, and when the wind comes up, it's the great destroyer of that.
Well, so, yeah.
I mean, luckily, there's an indoor facility, and so I just changed my routine some. And
we know all about that in Havasu.
Yeah. The two places I choose, you know, both seem to be windy places, but I'm grateful for both of them.
Right. Especially when the balloon.
I come back up here, and I'm always grateful to come back here. It's a gorgeous place. And then I'm here for a while, and I think to myself, oh, I can't wait to get back to Havasu. Just like Jim was saying about Pirate's Cove and about different places there, it's kind of like, and they're always in the back of my mind, too.
You know, Doctor, it was nice to hear this young man. So many people come out here and they say they find a way, even when they're trying to compliment us, to insult us. And it's annoying. You get Californians saying things like, well, I'm from California, so, and they don't even know they're talking to a Californian.
Right.
You know, and it's like just dial it back, man. That's why people, and I am one of those California people. That's why people here don't like Californians at times, because they talk from the superior level and they're speaking to another Californian and they don't even know it, and it makes you look really bad. And
it does. You know, the funny thing, guys, I was going to introduce myself today as, if I talked to Melissa, I was going to say, why don't you introduce me as the skunk at the garden party?
The skunk at the garden party.
Yeah, because normally it's kind of like I'm the one that's sand in the oyster deal that you hope is going to generate a little pearl or something, you know, but you just find yourself in a position that you think, oh, we're talking about such serious things.
Well,
and I tend to see them differently, so I don't know what your topic is for today, but I'll be glad to participate in anything that you have going.
Well, I sent you that link that we wanted to talk about the baseball team. I'm going to start with that. Would you consider yourself an ally of the LGBTQ community?
You know, there's some things, I don't know how quite to say it. I would say that I'm indifferent about. I don't take pros or cons. It's not no us or them. Or, you know, I was a psychologist for years, so obviously when somebody came in that had any kind of a problem, I'd help them regardless of what their orientation was. But then in the DSM that we used, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, that became, they took it out of there. It was no longer a diagnosable disease. Any homosexuality or any derivative of that was not considered a mental illness.
Even trans?
Right. It wasn't considered a mental illness anymore.
Really?
And so it wasn't something that I specialized in or dealt with. I have occasional experiences, like I live near a park and there'll be a parade and there'll be, I'll think, oh, what's going on here? And I'll find myself roaming in and I realize, oh, I'm right in the middle of this. And it's not a place that I would normally go. I do get a little irritated when I see people that, as happened this one day, that were name calling them and degrading them and wanting to pick fights with them. I thought, you know, just stop that. But, you know, Melissa, in our generation, I think you'd agree, sexuality was not something we took pride in. It wasn't something that we paraded about. It wasn't something that I've never actually pounded my chest and said, boy, I'm so glad I'm a heterosexual. You know, I remember ever having that experience of just kind of saying, you know, it just seemed like it was God-given, and it was one of those things that I just thought to myself, yeah, you know, there's nothing quite like a woman, and it wasn't a decision, it wasn't a, you know, it just seemed like an orientation to me, and so I look at those folks, and I don't know exactly why the pride parades take place. I probably could tell you psychologically why they do, but,
Please do. And I was wondering, you're a psychologist, so in your expertise, why do the parades take place? Why do they
Jim, the first word that comes to mind for me is orientation and identity, that they feel like there needs to be a group that they identify with, Because most of the ones I've spoken to in the past basically say it's been an isolated journey. It's been a journey that they felt very much outside of everything and felt disgraced and felt shame and felt like nobody understands. And then all of a sudden, but very gradually, they get integrated into a group where they think, oh, goodness, other people struggle with these same issues that I do. And so it becomes a form of at least I fit in. And then after a while, it's kind of like a pride in I can finally be what I feel like I am. Now, for myself, and probably for some of you, I haven't been there, so I don't know quite what that would feel like. And I look and, like I say, you know, heterosexuality was not a choice for me. It was just kind of like, it just seems so normal.
You were born that way.
I feel for these folks. You know, I feel for these folks. I feel like, when Melissa and I were talking about this, and one of the issues was teams being instructed and it being mandatory to wear garb that was rainbow. And she asked me how I felt about it. You know, I don't think that this should be a sports-related issue. I don't like seeing sports get invaded by social or political issues. I like sports to be sports and other things to be other things myself.
I'm going to catch the listeners up here on what I sent you. So I sent you the link about the baseball team. In San Francisco, don't forget San Francisco is like the LGBTQ capital of America. And it was a Pride night that was happening. And the baseball players were given special uniforms to wear for Pride night, which included a rainbow insignia on their hats. Okay. And three of the pitchers put Bible verses on their hats, as in they
put the numbers of the Bible verse.
Yes, like Genesis, you know, the numbers.
Okay.
I actually looked up the Bible verses that they put up there because my first thought was, oh no, did they put up Romans 1? Because that would have been, a man shall not lie with a man is total abomination. And it was not the one that they put up. They put up the Genesis one, which was God's promise that the rainbow was about the rainbow, the covenant being that he wouldn't flood the earth again. So it wasn't like that would have made a difference, I feel like, on if it would have been Romans 1, that it would have been more of an attack against the LGBTQ instead of saying, oh, this is what I view the rainbow to mean.
So I looked it up, too, and I wrote it down. And I think it's important for us to discuss this to say exactly what it is.
Right.
They put the number up there of, G-E-N, which is Genesis 9:12-16.
Right.
Okay? So if I can just read here.
Sure.
And I'll try to go through it efficiently. 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between you and me and every living creature that is with you for the perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall be no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will not look upon it, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. That's what that Bible verse was.
Right.
Now,
So take a minute and just tell me what you think that means.
Well, I don't think it's mean and vindictive in any way, shape, or form.
No, I don't either.
And I think it's rather nice, understanding, and accommodating to all beings of the earth.
This is what the rainbow means to me. That's how I took it.
Okay. Okay. And then if that's what we get, then I'm right on with you.
Okay.
Common ground.
And so it to me, but
we
this
just got
is
a text that says, "What the heck does that mean?"
Okay, what the heck does that mean? Oh my! Well, now I lost my train.
Well,
in Sunday school, they teach children
that it means that he's not going to flood the earth again, and that the Bible, that the rainbow is a symbol. So if you simplify that, that's what they teach you in Sunday school, at least children.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way this can be construed to be insulting to the gay community
I agree.
Right?
Like, it's not like they put Romans 1 on there. That's
why,
what I'm saying.
So this is where it becomes controversial. Why is Major League Baseball wanting to, and then they're like dialing it back, punish the players for writing those numbers, which refer to those words I just spoke here, and punish them for that when they really kind of wrote a nice thing?
It caused a big thing. It was forfeited.
Yeah, let me ask you guys a question, because this is what it appears to me. It seems like we're just looking for fights, us versus them, and we get preoccupied with, I'm going to show you how dumb you are, or how evil you are, or how bad you are compared to what I stand for. Which is why when I said to Melissa, I wish we could just stay out of these things. It's not an issue. You know, if you're proud of, you know, the rainbow and what it stands for and this and that, and you want to display it personally, but for a major league team to mandate it or require it or put it on and say, okay, it's an expectation, or vice versa. You know, if somebody else is feeling like, I've got to say something in opposition to this or in some type of, you know, I have to play yes belt with you a little bit and put something, you know, on a cap that says something different. I just think there is so much of this going on, and I'm just going to call it crap, of us versus them and me versus you and partisan politics, and let's get preoccupied with anything that allows us not to deal with the big problems that we have in this country.
I think
that's where the skunk in the garden party comes in. You know, I feel like, boy, would you keep an eye on it? Nobody seems to talk about the deficit much anymore. Nobody seems to talk about this. And I know we're going to probably see this differently, but I'm going to call it the crazy war that we're involved in right now in Iran. You know, that.
Let's not digress. You know, let's not digress. Let's stay on point here. Okay.
But the main point to me, Jim, is.
You mean the one with the ceasefire, by the way?
Right.
That's winding down. Yeah, that one with the falling gas prices? But let's not digress, okay?
And if you believe that, I got a bridge I want you to sell. I want to sell you over there in Havasu.
You don't believe gas prices are falling because I paid $3.77 down from $4.05.
We got to cut to a quick break here.
You better believe it.
Yeah,
now.
They are starting to fall. We got to cut to a quick break here. We do have several texts that we're going to hit when we get back. And right here live on 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free.
Okay.
Welcome back to Common Ground on KNTR Talk 106.7, 5 and 3, the voice of the free. We want to thank our sponsors for making this show possible to bring to you. Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. From auto parts and paint to hardware and firearms, Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware is your one-stop headquarters for just about it all. Visit goldenvalleyhardware.com. Annie's Thrift Shop. Every treasure you find at Annie's Thrift Shop helps support local charities, making every bargain a blessing. Off Northern Avenue in Kingman. Neat Pool and Supply. Family owned since 1970, Neat Pool and Supply has everything to turn your backyard into the oasis you deserve. At 52 Scott Drive in Havasu. And Trailside Firearms and Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, or track down that hard-to-find firearm at Trailside Firearms and Trading Company. The trail to a fair deal starts on Main Street, Havasu at TrailsideFTC.com.
All right. Thank you, Marissa. All right. Let's get into some of these text messages. You guys can text us in at 928-727-5566. And what do you got there, Marissa?
All right. Let me do the one that came in first. Okay. Homosexuality is a spiritual illness. The problem with psychology is they aren't willing to prescribe diagnosis anymore because of the backlash they receive going against something that truly has an extremely strong spiritual problem. Businesses and teams are compelled not to receive the same backlash and are forcing inclusion by the pride uniforms. And the goal of the whole pride thing and the rainbow wearing is an aberration, I believe that's how you pronounce it, of God's symbol. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, or
of God's symbol of peace. Not taking a stand is worse. It's the silent avocation of morally corrupt mythologies.
Okay. What are your thoughts on that? Do you agree?
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's a tough one.
Right.
You know, it's something that happens.
Well, the Department of Justice got involved in this, in the incident. They did you know that?
Yes.
That they sent a referral letter.
Well, yes, and this gets to the core of what's happening here, and we did a show on hypocrisy, and there's a part of this that is really hypocritical. And if I may, Manfred, he's like the head of baseball, he said the purpose of the rule, and the rule is a blanket rule that they're not to write anything on their uniform. So that's the rule they broke, is writing on the uniform. So they've given them an oral tongue lashing and said, don't do that anymore. They're not going to fine them. The game that was forfeited was a minor league game. That was a minor league game in Pennsylvania. It was the York Revolution of the Atlantic League versus the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. Okay?
Okay.
The Blue Crabs. So that game did not happen because of the forfeit. Trevor Bauer is back in the minor leagues. He's on one of those teams. But yeah. here's the hypocrisy. Manfred said the purpose of the rule is to prevent players from becoming messengers for political or social issues while in uniform because many messages can offend some portion of the fan base, even if that is not the player's intent. So Major League Baseball is trying to say, don't write this Bible verse on your hat because it might be offensive to somebody. Meanwhile, here, wear this rainbow hat and this uniform with rainbow sleeves, and Major League Baseball wants to pretend that might not, that won't offend a portion of the audience. And your point, Doctor, why do we, if I take my five-year-old boy to the baseball game, I'm taking him to see a baseball game. I'm taking him to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at the seventh inning stretch. I want him to smell the popcorn.
Yep.
And back in the day, get a prize in your Cracker Jacks.
Right.
You know? And I don't want to talk about sexuality.
Right. Right. I'm with you.
It's Pride Month. It's Pride Night. You're the boss. So, I feel like they're trying to accommodate everybody.
Well, they're telling them, don't say anything political.
It shouldn't be brought into sports, though. Like, it has nothing to do with it. Sports should say sports.
Right.
Like, that's right.
Or maybe the guests the option. Like, the people that are coming in, and have rainbow cozies or something. Don't put it on the uniforms and force the players to wear them.
That's an idea.
That's a good idea.
Then they could choose them if they wanted.
That would still appease the LGBTQ community for, you know, their recognition, but not put it in.
Right.
The game for the people that are just there for the sport.
Right. There's other things that they could do to celebrate or honor Pride Month. The thing that bothers me, though, hypocrisy. So the DOJ letter highlights the MLB allowing the BLM patches, the Black Lives Matter patches, in 2020. but warning players over Bible verses and God, referencing God's covenant of the rainbow.
We have another
Does this represent a clear double standard?
And so, Melissa, would you basically say that we just need to celebrate, separate politics and sports? Is that what we're coming to? Because whether it's Black Lives Matter or whether it's any other social issue, I'm just thinking, okay, you know, that's what you're standing for, and that's okay. Like Jim was saying, that's not why we go to a ball game or watch that sport.
Right.
You know, the one that's like this that affects me just a touch is I love professional tennis. And I notice at the pro ranks, it's kind of like when somebody plays, a Russian plays somebody from Ukraine or one of the other countries that they're at war with, they won't shake hands. They after the match, they'll walk their separate ways. And I think to myself, I don't know. You know, if anything, what I'd like to see sports represent is some kind of harmony or some kind of peace or some kind of, despite everything else going on, we have something in common here. So let's shake hands and give each other a hug, or let's wish for better times.
Wait, I don't know that we have to hug.
Aren't you the one that said you wouldn't shake hands with Trump?
All right, no hugs.
The very first question I asked him when I met him, like, was if he would shake hands with President Trump.
And he said no.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. All right, what's the next text there? You got, Marissa, a few more.
All right, we have another one, and this is kind of the double standard again. Can you imagine the media uproar if LGBTQ or atheist athletes were forced to wear a cross? This is exactly the same situation, but in reverse, and those baseball players have every right to clarify that they are being forced to wear a symbol that contradicts. That's a typo. That contradicts their core values. It is also a statement that the age-old symbol of the rainbow cannot be usurped or hijacked for political or social benefit. The real controversy here is in scriptures on the hats. It's the MLB forcing players to wear rainbows against their will.
And yeah. I wouldn't tell a Jew to wear a cross.
I believe there was one player that opted out for a plain hat and did not get in trouble.
Well, okay. And this came out, and I'm sorry, Doctor, but this logistically and the time frame of this whole argument and thing coming to be known is that the Giants didn't really make it clear up front to their players, you don't have to wear that hat. You can wear your regular hat. And then after the fact, oh, yeah, by the way, you could have worn your regular hat. Well, that's not the way they did it, though. Go ahead, Doctor.
That,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that should always be an option.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, see, I like the policy that Jim originally cited, you know, of corporate, whatever, saying, you know, listen, nobody writes on anything that has to do with, you know, their own preferences kind of thing. This is about baseball, or it's about whatever sport we're talking about. It's not about making a statement. I like that. Now, my hypocrisy, to be honest with you, see, if I see a cross on somebody, I'm all for that. And I assume they tuck it under their shirt, or it doesn't have to be bouncing on their breast or anything like that. But, you know, my hypocrisy really is I see a cross and I think, yeah, fine, there's a kindred soul. So I understand, you know, my hypocrisy there. It's not a problem to me. I look at it and I think, religiously, if that's what you believe, and I feel the same way about Jews, if they have, the Mark of David and they put it under their shirt or whatever, you know, they have every right to do that. So I'm not in any way in opposition, or I don't have any feelings about that. And I understand that can confuse things in some ways. But I think you've got a right to maybe express yourself, but keep it private.
All right. I've got a question for you. So the DOJ has referred this to the EEOC, citing Title VII religious accommodations for dress/grooming rules. Is federal involvement here appropriate, or does it risk government overreach into the private sports league? Do you think that the
overreach?
You don't think that the DOJ should be getting involved?
Absolutely not. You've got to have more important things to do. Come on, leave it alone. Do exactly what.
But we have commissions and boards for this. We have commissions and boards for this.
All right,
and we'll come back to that. We've got to go to break.
To another break, but stay tuned right here on KNTR Talk 106.75 and 3, the voice of the free. But we have a music history of the day before I cut to break. Today, in 1990, Billy Joel becomes the first rock act to play Yankee Stadium. All right, stay tuned. Oh, it doesn't matter what they say in the Welcome back to Common Ground on KNTR Talk 106.7, 5 and 3, the voice of the free. We want to thank the rest of our sponsors, Parker's Collision Center. Fender benders to full-size RVs and semis, Parker's Collision Center has over two decades of experience in Mojave County's largest state-of-the-art paint booth. Plain to donkey, they'll paint it all. Mojave Valley. Perfectly pressed cleaners, dry cleaning, laundry service, and whoa. Okay, I guess the song glitched. That's okay. And delivery from Kingman to Parker for just $10. Perfectly pressed cleaners lets you skip the chores and get back to life. Havasu Local, Blondie Steakhouse, mouthwatering steaks, unforgettable breakfast, and the kind of flavor that keeps Havasu coming back. Blondie Steakhouse off Lennon Bridge Road in Desert Hills. And Bullhead Vape Shop. Clean stores, quality products, no mystery junk, and disposable bundle deals for just $17.50. Bullhead Vape Shop with two convenient tri-state locations, Fort Mojave and Mojave Valley. All right, back to you guys.
All right, so we were just talking about the DOJ getting involved and getting the EEOC involved. And now that the EEOC is involved, what's going to be the right outcome? Do you think stricter uniforms, maybe, or broader religious accommodations or something else? Where do we go from here?
You want me to?
Yeah,
Dr.
Paul. Yeah.
Yes. I'm with Thoreau. You know, the government that governs best governs least. Stay out of people's business. And when it comes to things like we're talking about, you know, I think what we're coming to is something like this. Separate what you believe from the sport that you're playing. And we don't really need government agencies to get involved in these kind of things. I think we need to basically say, listen, we've got too many important things to deal with. And these kind of issues just divide people. And so a nice blanket statement, which is what we started with, nothing gets written on your cap or on your shirt or anywhere else that demonstrates something that's going to divide people. You're here to play sports. That's it. Not to make comments.
And it is entertainment, and it is to provide a relief from the daily grind that dad, mom, can take their kid, forget about the stuff they've had to take care of at work today, and go have some time with their innocent child at the ball game without having to go into a speech about the sexual practices of other people.
It really is wild that we have to talk about this, and that it's the DOJ is involved in all of this. And it does boil down with who you sleep with at night. Why is that matter?
Right.
Why is that anybody's business?
And that's your
I was going to ask you, Paul. Let me and on that note, Melissa, but I want to ask you, Paul.
Yeah.
Is it appropriate? You're young, you're dating, and a young man hooks up, as they say, with a woman. Is it appropriate to go tell all your friends about it?
Right.
I don't think so.
Wear a hat.
It's not. It's not. It's rude.
I don't know about you, Jim, but you know, my mother brought me up to be a gentleman, and the last thing as a gentleman that you do is.
Brag about your conquest.
You know, if you're blessed enough to have a woman that shares intimacy with you or confesses love or whatever, that's a private affair.
And I would say, even if it's a man and a man, it's a private affair.
Right.
I think
so.
Jim, there's something real scary happening here. Do you understand this?
We're agreeing on a lot today, Doctor.
We are.
We got some more text messages here. What do we got, Marissa?
All right. We do have another text. What protections do these people have, regardless of the business or baseball team? Who enforces violations? Like, that's what the one role government should have is saying, hey, look here, buddy. You can't make these people wear or say the thing that goes against what they believe.
Well, these players are in a union. Where's the union at in this?
Right. Yeah.
Why isn't the unions coming in and saying, hey, these guys have protection of religion, freedom of religion, and pursuit of happiness, and they're allowed to have free expression? I don't know. You know, I don't know how the union is going to get involved in this. They're going to have to, though, I would imagine, now that the DOJ and the EEOC is all over it. It's a very interesting subject.
One that needs to be discussed, because, I mean...
I agree.
Like, going against their freedom is going against the Constitution.
Right.
So.
I took my teenage grandsons on a road trip this weekend, and I told them, this is what the radio show we're going to do about on Tuesday. The kids are 13, 14, and 16, two in Lake Havasu High School here, and one in Salem High School. So I asked them what the teenage thoughts, teenagers, what do you think about that? And they, you know what, they all said the same thing we do, that we're saying right now. Give, if the people that are coming in, give them a cozy or a flag or something, but don't make the players do it. Let the people that choose if they want to.
Well, and here, though, if you go to the game, and I like the idea of, you know, the guy can stand there and he's got a koozie and say, just, you know, have his hand out. If you'd like to grab it, grab it. But I think it would be in Major League Baseball's interest that their giveaway, that it's something that everybody likes. You know,
well,
if they have, if it's bobblehead night and I don't like the player, I don't have to take it. Okay.
I mean, it's hard to appease everyone, though, so.
It is hard to make everyone happy.
Yeah.
It's hard to do something that everyone likes. But it, the double standard part really bothers me about how they allowed the SOS Cuba and the Black Lives Matter things on the hats in the past, but not, but this is the one. That Bible verse is the one that's getting
okay.
the referral.
Okay. And I could go along with you there, Melissa. That seemed hypocritical to basically allow one and not the other, which is why I say
right.
I think it's just better with hands off. You know, laissez-faire, you're just kind of hands off.
Thank
and
you.
The only difference, maybe it was Marissa that was talking about this. You know, when it comes to freedom of choice and that kind of things, I think that's true. You know, we have to reinforce freedom of choice. The difference for me is whether you exhibit that privately or publicly or not, you know, and by publicly I mean, is there a public demonstration of something that you privately believe in that's going to impose that particular issue on me in the middle of something that I don't particularly want to see? That to me seems like an imposition, to me. Now, if you walk around all day with Black Lives Matter on, you know, or you remember one time, Melissa, we had talked about the issue of there was a fellow that came into your restaurant with a ICE hat
on,
yes. I believe.
Yes.
And we were talking about should he be served, and you know what was the reaction to that?
That was
a
question.
That it happened in my restaurant.
That was a question. You questioned if you would serve
it. I did not question it. I had employees that did not want to.
Yeah, and
fire them.
Was that you got to
get
I
fire them?
A Hispanic person or something.
Fire them. Who do they think they are?
It was, yeah, it was a bar full of Hispanic people. Also, remember that we were in a state of emergency because of ICE in that location.
What do you mean?
The governor of Oregon.
This is in Oregon.
Tina.
Who claimed the state of emergency?
The city of Woodburn claimed a state of emergency because of ICE presence. Woodburn would be like Parker, you know, to Havasu. It's the town north to us on I-5. It was a problem. He was a guest came in with the ICE hat on and was leering at some of the customers.
And at the end of that show, Melissa, I think, at least I was feeling like maybe I'm a little more in the middle. I was saying, I think anybody has a right to wear what they want to wear when they want to wear it. That's why we're a freedom loving country.
I had multiple
now,
employee meetings
after
that.
When it comes to the bartender not wanting to serve him, I was saying that's where I, as an owner or somebody else, you know, can give that person a pass and just kind of say, I understand why you're scared, why you're in opposition, I'll just take this upon myself. But we sure don't ask that person to leave. We don't ask them to remove their hat. And then I know we got into discussion real briefly of what if it was the Ku Klux Klan wearing their sheet.
Right.
Kind of a thing.
So, Jim,
I was saying to you, you know, I felt like it's the same thing. You know, like he's a clown in my estimation.
Yeah.
But would I fight for his right to be able to do that? I would. I would. I would basically say it's a freedom-loving country. If it's private and you're bringing it in and you're basically not imposing you know, or going to get up and make a speech or proselytize or something, then I think you got every right to wear what you want to wear.
Right.
Now,
I know others saw that
differently.
I do need to tell you, like, how we did handle that. My husband did come out and speak to the person and tell him that he would serve him directly, because none of the staff felt comfortable with doing that. And they were, and as my husband was trying to speak to the gentleman to serve him, there were people at the counter making comments about that, him not, you traitor, stuff like that, to my husband by going around the staff and saying, you know, they have the right to refuse service, but they don't have the right to tell me that I can't
refuse
service.
They don't own the place. They don't have the right to make that decision.
So
that's your decision. Okay, if a guy, if I'm driving down the street and the guy's got a rainbow sticker in the back of his window on his car, he can do that. But don't make me put it on my car.
Right. And it was a, you know, it was a very volatile situation. It was very uncomfortable, and I think that my husband handled it correctly by going to the customer and saying, you know, look, I'm just going to take care of you myself, so the bar staff didn't have to deal with the customers who were, you know, leering at them and they were angry at them for.
Well, they've been to the Leering Center and got their very good education.
Yes. It was a really uncomfortable situation. We haven't had to deal with it since.
Yeah.
Similar to when bikers come in with colors on, you know, we've had that happen where you've got the Gypsy Jokers and the Hells Angels and the Bikers of Christ and coming in all at the same time.
All right, we have about 5 minutes left of the show, 4 minutes now. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. So final thoughts?
Common ground. Dr. Paul, we found so much.
We did.
Isn't that something?
We're all pretty much on the same page today.
Yeah, and so it's this is maybe a bipartisan issue where...
Well, you know, and it is a sensitive topic, and
it is.
I want to thank you, Paul, Dr. Paul, for being here because, you know, I have some friends, and they're gay, and they're openly gay. And but you know what? I didn't want to approach them to do this show because that's their business. They've never... Mm-hmm. shoved their sexuality up on me, and I like them.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
You know,
I
didn't want to have to ask anybody. So
we
go ahead. We
have
got
one last text. Okay, yeah, I did read that one. Also, hey, just a point from a Christian is that we don't force people to believe in Jesus, nor do we force companies to make people wear crosses. The people who advocate for an LGBTQ lifestyle have caused so much chaos to make Pride Month a thing and to make businesses accept them and so forth. The main issue is Christians being persecuted for not giving in. Well, I could argue with your first point there, but that's a whole other topic. But yes, a lot of, especially me, I see it because my generation is filled with that kind of stuff. A lot of them today, they want to like almost force you to parade with them. It's a very weird thing. No one can just be like, hey, you do you anymore. They like need that like super acceptance or whatever.
And if you don't, they call you names with multiple syllables.
And if you don't agree with them, you're homophobic.
Yep.
Yeah. That came up in the conversation with my grandsons as well. They said the same thing, that they have been accused of being homophobic.
Yeah, I mean, guys, what happened to basic civility, you know? It's a word we don't really talk about too much anymore. But it seems to me like we just need to be civil to each other, you know, and accept his differences, not impose what you believe on somebody else, but yet recognize their right to believe it.
Yeah,
and you know, we live in a country. Really, you mentioned the word that I keep on coming back to, Melissa, bipartisanship. I would love in this country to believe that we put our heads together and solve problems, just like you know, the four of us did right now. We looked at something and said this seems to make sense to us, you know, maybe, and we look at it this way. But if there was bipartisanship with everything, the major big issues that I'm more worried about, to be honest with you, I would love to see that in our country. Unfortunately, I think what's happened is just the opposite. We just find things to fight about, to argue about, to play that game of I'm smarter than you about. And the next thing you know, we just seem to be tearing each other apart. So congratulations today. You know, it was good to hear from y'all. I know it's not the biggest issue in the world to me, but at least we found some common ground.
We did.
I agree.
Yes. And thank you, Dr. Paul, calling in from Twin Falls, Idaho.
Where it's to hear your voices again and knowing that the show is taking place. And it's got such good intentions.
It does.
You know, it's just if we could do that bipartisan thing of putting our heads together and saying, how can we best solve a problem, I'm all for it.
I truly believe the silent majority is rising in the middle.
Yes. Yeah, I sure hope so.
Or they're being crushed.
Well, all right, on that, we'll see you next week right here live on 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free.
A surprising request from Paul, but I will always play a little metal. Catch us next week on KNTR Talk.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The Voice of the Free.